Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the election of the new chairman of the African Union. He is Robert Mugabe, the president of Zimbabwe. Critics say he is more like a dictator than a president, and they say he is a poor choice for the chairmanship. Then we report on the celebration this week of what would have been the 73rd birthday of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il.
His repression, his ruthlessness, his prioritizing of the maintenance of his power over the welfare of his people is his real legacy.
A controversial new leader of the African Union and the disputed legacy of Kim Jong-il. Those are our stories today. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the voice of America, and this is our daily program, As It Is. President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe won praise last month when he stood before the African Union and accepted its chairmanship. Mr. Mugabe is Africa's third longest-serving leader. Critics have described his rule as dictatorial. They say he is a poor choice for the chairmanship if the African Union wants the world's respect. But other observers say he is unlikely to do anything to hurt the group. More now from Katie Weaver.
The African Union works hard to present itself as an organization that works in a calm and collective way. Yet Robert Mugabe is seen as someone who often expresses strong opinions. The 90-year-old president has publicly criticized European nations, calling them colonizers and imperialists. Several Western nations announced travel bans and ordered sanctions against Mr. Mugabe. The measures were meant to punish him for suspected cheating in elections, repressing the opposition, and human rights abuses. His appointment as AU chairman shocked some governments around the world. But several African states have accepted the appointment without expressing concern. This month, for example, South Africa's foreign minister said the nation has no qualms about the choice. Dimbo Motsamai is with the Institute of Security Studies in South Africa's administrative capital, Pretoria. She says Mr. Mugabe's appointment is largely technical. The position of chairman moves back and forth among Africa's four major areas. Ms. Motsamai says the job has limited power. In fact, the head of the AU Commission has more power than the chairman. The Commission is the permanent administrative and policy engine of the AU. Other opinionated leaders have held the chairmanship. In 2009, Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi held the position. He had hoped to form a United States of Africa, but he had no success with that. He also lost his campaign to extend his term as AU chair beyond the one-year limit. Dimbo Motsamai says Mr. Mugabe is unlikely to go against the commission. She says he is also unlikely to deal with complex issues, like African leaders attempting to amend national laws to extend their terms. She says Mr. Mugabe probably will not speak out on abuses of democracy. She says he has already failed to do so in his job as chairman of the Southern African Development Community. But, she says, he will make public statements in support of AU opinions and decisions. Mr. Mugabe's critics say he is a poor choice for the job of representing African unity, however. Joy Mbenge works for the Zimbabwe in Crisis Coalition in South Africa. He says Mr. Mugabe is old and has shown signs of memory problems. Mr. Mbenge says there is a danger that the Zimbabwean leader may say or do something that could cause an international incident. Mr. Mugabe is to serve as chairman for 12 months. It is sure to be an interesting year. I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to As It Is, from The Voice of America. North Korea honored its former leader Kim Jong-il this week on what would have been his 73rd birthday. Officials in the country praised Mr. Kim for his political skills and his opposition to the United States. But human rights groups want the man to be remembered for how he abused his people, including starving millions to death. Once again, here is Katie Weaver.
The celebration began Monday with a huge show of fireworks in the capital, Pyongyang. Kim Jong-il died in December 2011, reportedly from a heart attack. He had ruled North Korea for 17 years. His birthday is now a three-day-long national holiday called the Shining Star Festival. It includes shows of sport and the distribution of free food. Kim Jong-il's son, Kim Jong-un, now rules the country. Ahn Chan-il is the president of the World Institute for North Korea Studies. He says these kinds of celebrations are used to strengthen the Kim family's control of the country. He says North Korean officials give gifts to people during these celebrations to deepen their loyalty to the Kim family. International negotiations to end North Korea's nuclear program failed during Kim Jong-il's rule. This caused Western nations to establish severe diplomatic and economic restrictions on the country. Many Westerners have laughed at Kim Jong-il for the stories North Korean officials tell about him. They say he wrote 1,500 books and three operas in 3 years. They say he played a perfect game of golf on his first attempt. Phil Robertson works at Human Rights Watch. He says Kim Jong-il repressed and abused his people.
Kim Jong-il ruled North Korea based on human rights abuses. His repression, his ruthlessness, his prioritizing of the maintenance of his power over the welfare of his people is his real legacy.
I'm Katie Weaver.
That's our program for today. We hope it has informed you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Cruz at the VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. Students in American schools learn from an early age to give presentations as part of their regular classroom activities. Children as young as 5 years old often give brief talks about objects they bring into school, called show and tell. This training is a basis for later public speaking. Even so, many native English-speaking adults are afraid to speak or give presentations in front of a large group. Speaking English in public meetings is necessary for many students and employees. The best way to improve is to practice public speaking in a friendly environment. Learners need to receive feedback about what they are doing well and about their mistakes. One group that gives members the chance to practice is Toastmasters. Toastmasters is an international organization that holds weekly meetings. At the meetings, members each give a speech and give others advice about their speeches and speaking style. Charles LeBeau is a public speaking professor and consultant. He began his career in Japan in 1982. Currently, he teaches at two universities and at the Toshiba International Training Center. He has also written books on the subject. English language learners around the world use his book, Speaking of Speech. Speaking of Speech tells about a method of teaching public speaking for non-native speakers. Mr. LeBeau says a simple approach helps English learners.
The approach that I've taken is to simplify it and break it down. First, if we look at presentation, what's going on? There are basically three messages that the presenter is giving the audience all simultaneously. There's what I call the physical message. Physical message is basically body language. It's the way that my body as the speaker is talking to the audience. And then there's also the visual message. The visual message now, of course, are the slides that we make and we show the audience. And the third message is the story message. And the story message is the content of our presentation. So another way we can think of the story message sometimes is that it is the verbal message. It's what we say to the audience. But the story message also includes how we organize our ideas to present to the audience.
In the next speaking tips, we will explore Charles LeBeau's recommendations for improving the physical message. He thinks this is the public speaking skill that is easiest for English learners to improve quickly. I'm Jill Robbins. Thank you.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. Last week, we talked about the growth of the cattle industry. This industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young, just boys, and so they were called cowboys. This week in our series, Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy, and he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called Get Along Little Dogie. Dogie is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the dogies forward. He feels sorry for them because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
As I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy a-riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's early in the springtime, we round up those dogies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out on the north trail. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born, singing ki-yi, yippee, yippee.
yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yee. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd. Started up the trail with the two you heard, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee. Up every morning, before daylight, and before I sleep, the moon shines bright, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punch them cattle, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore back horse, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee. And I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee-yippee. Roping and a tying and a branding all day, I'm a working mighty hard for a mighty little pay, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yay. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yay, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yay. With my foot in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yay, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yay. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for an old darn man, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yippee-yay, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yay.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. A paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint, lead an old Dan, gone to Montana to throw the hoolian, feed him in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-rearing to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-rearing to go. I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. Going to Montana to throw the hoolian. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall, put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall. Tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west, and we'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-raring to go. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy or a-raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called the dying cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've oft been told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant, this wish to me. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. He wailed in pain, and o'er his brow death's shadows fast were gathering now. He thought of his friends and his home but nigh, as the cowboys gathered to see him die. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed.
Our program was written by Harold Braverman. The narrator was Kay Gallant. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs are online, along with historical images, at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for The Making of a Nation, an American history series in VOA Special English. Thank you.